So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. There are many iconic images, I think, of this wonderful state. Hard to imagine one more lovely than a Wisconsin dairy farm. Inga Wischer comes from a family of dairy farmers, and she brings that experience and passion to you and to me through her Wisconsin Public Television show. It's called Around the Farm Table. And we're going to talk about that show a bit. We're going to talk about what happens on a dairy farm in the fall, on a small farm. She's going to share a recipe for a delicious carrot soup. And when I say delicious, I can speak from experience because I've just sampled it. It is wonderful. I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments, or maybe you have some comments about the show itself or questions about preparing food. We can continue to talk about preparing food because she does a lot of it. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page, and our Facebook page title is The Larry Miller Show. And Inga Wischer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Larry. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, you look wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
And rested?
Yeah, I feel rested.
Well, you've got, what, eight shows?
Eight shows. So we just wrapped up about, maybe a month ago, I think. So now we kind of get to take a little bit of a break, but I'm trying to get everything done around the farm before the snow starts coming. And so it's just been a lovely fall and a warm fall, too, which
yeah.
I love.
A really warm fall. What goes on a small dairy farm this time of year?
Well, on a small farm like mine, there's not a ton of activity happening, which is great for me because after coming off of production for eight shows, I'm a little bit wiped out. But all my neighbors right now, they're getting all their corn and beans off, and it's so fun living in the country this time of the year because it's just buzzing with activity. It's just so exciting just to see everybody out there, and they're just working, and everybody's excited, and it's just been so fun. And I'm just sitting there milking my cows, and I'm thinking, oh, can I go in the combine with you guys for a little bit? Bring lunch.
Well, tell, and for those who aren't familiar, tell us about your farm.
So I have a 30-acre certified organic dairy farm, and I milk just a small number of cows. They're Jersey cows. I just love the Jerseys. And I ship my milk down to Westby Creamery, down in Westby, Wisconsin, and I milk in buckets. Because it seemed like a good idea at the time.
No milking machines for you, eh?
Well, I've got the milking machines, but it goes, instead of a pipeline, it goes into a
bucket. Oh, it goes right into, oh.
So I haul the milk in, into the bulk tank.
I did that when I was a young man.
Well, if you ever desire to do it again, Larry, you know where to go.
Oh, man. That's great. So you're milking and you'll milk right through.
I'll milk right through January 15th is the day I'm going to start drying the cows up. And then I get to take 2 months off for the winter. And then the cows start freshening in on March 15th. That's when our first ones do.
Someone asked me, why do people dry cows up?
Well, you have to. Yeah. So like in the last 2 months of the gestation, they need to take a break, finish growing that calf. And if you time it right, you get 2 months off.
And how does that work usually? Pretty good.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's always hard. So you just cross your fingers. And some of my cows are dried up a little bit longer than they should be, but they don't seem to mind. It's not a bad life for a cow, if you think about it. It's like they get 2 months paid vacation, you know? They just sit around and ruminate. It's wonderful.
Well, tell us about your also about the show, because there may be people who aren't familiar with it.
Yeah, so I host a television series called Around the Farm Table. And on Around the Farm Table, we bring the viewers into my small dairy farm in Osseo, talk to them about what's happened on our farm. So whether it's a cow calving, whether we're learning new methods for holistic veterinary care on the animals, or just whatever's happened on the farm that day. And then we go throughout Wisconsin to other smaller sustainable farms. It's just what we're kind of interested in doing and find out what's happening. So we got to visit the CSA at Taliesin down here in Spring Green and find out about what they're doing on their community supported agriculture. We gather ingredients. So we're gathering whatever's seasonal, whatever's they're offering on their farm, bring it back to my farm and cook up a meal around the farm table.
It's wonderful. And you know, it was fun. I thought of you as I was visiting with Jacques Pepin, because he cooks what's there, what's in season.
Uh-huh. I think it's important to do that because it makes food taste better. It just does.
Well, this carrot soup, oh my goodness me, is it rich and delicious.
It's a really great recipe because you can just go right into the kitchen and just, it's a few ingredients, carrots, onions, butter, cream. And simple. You throw it together. And this time of the carrots are really nice when they're coming out of the garden because that frost kind of, it makes all the sugars kind of really get in there to the carrots, and the carrots
sweetens them up.
Yeah.
Even more than they normally would be. What's your garden like?
There's a lot of weeds in it right now. But I always have these great plans for gardening in February when I'm sitting there with like a cup of hot tea, looking at the fireplace, looking at all my seed catalogs, and I'm like, this is going to be the year where I'm going to kill it this year. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to can all my food, live off the land, and then May 15th hits and all my ideas go down the drain. But, you know, what are you going to do? You can't take yourself too seriously.
But you've got a pretty good size one?
I have a pretty good size one. Mm-hmm. And my tomatoes this year, I didn't stake them because I was like, I'll do it tomorrow. Why do it today when I could do it tomorrow? So I'd never stake them, and then they fell down. So now, but it's great because I've been dragging my chickens across I have a little chicken tractor, and I drag it across the tomatoes now that are all dead on the ground. And they're just loving it. It's fantastic. So it was just a really expensive way to get chicken feed. It really is what it was for me.
Now, would the flavor of chicken be different if they're fed tomatoes?
It's like they taste like Bloody Marys now.
Inga Wischer, our guest today, host of Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. Great to have her with us. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Maybe you've got a... You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to... You know, we're going to talk, I'm sure, about food as part of this. And given the show today is pretty much about food... If you have a favorite fall recipe or something that you like to eat in the fall, I hope you'll join in and share that with us at 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We'd love to hear from you. Is there a certain rhythm to fall on the farm?
Well, it's just, it's fast-paced and then it slows down and everybody kind of gets... you know, they get calmed down and get warmed up. And it's just a lovely time of the year. It's fun, Larry, to watch the seasons change on the farm and watch the grasses change on the farm. I was just sitting out my pastures the other day, and it's such a different pasture than it was in June. You know, it's just the species out there are different. All the bees that are still out there just buzzing around collecting pollen. It's just a beautiful place to be on the farm. And right now for me, my cows are starting to decline in milk production because they're starting to go into that dry up period. So it's been kind of, it's been nice because I don't have to carry so much milk in the buckets, to tell you the truth. Still wish I had the same milk check as I did the spring, but it's been easier on my back. So
Yeah, and that milk check's that's important on most farms.
Absolutely.
I think on every farm. you want that milk check. Good. We had a question from Laura. You grew up on a dairy farm.
I did, out in Washington State.
Out in Washington State. What got you into Wisconsin? And she wonders, how did you get into small-scale dairy farming?
Sure. So I grew up in a community in Washington State of all dairy farmers, and I'm fourth generation myself. But back in the 90s, the urban sprawl from Seattle was coming out, land prices were getting high, so about 10 or 15 families from our county in Washington State moved to Wisconsin to continue farming. It was more affordable here, there was plenty of land available, and it's a great place to dairy farm. It's really a great state for it. So my family eventually moved here with them. My brother actually came out here in the 90s with them to be a herdsman on a dairy. And then we ended up in Virginia making cheese out there for a little while. But then when my brother started having kids, my parents said, we have to go live next to the grandkids. And I stayed in Virginia. And then I was looking for something to do. And my parents had purchased a small little 30-acre kind of a hobby farm. And my dad says to me one day, well, why don't you come up here and dairy farm? Now, I wanted to be a hairdresser more than anything. I hardly left the house without high heels and, you know, a black dress on. And I was like, you're out of your mind, Dad. Like, why would I ever want to do that? And he said, well, just come up here, see if you can get a loan for it, and just see how it goes. So I said, fine. So I came up here. I had no money. I had nothing, no possessions. So I knew when I went into the farm service agency that there was no chance they were going to loan me money, right, to dairy farm in my high heels and black cocktail dress. But 3 days later, they're like, congratulations, you qualify as being socially disadvantaged, which I think I'm pretty socially not disadvantaged, but, and here's money, go out and farm. And I was like, you're crazy. And then, so I bought cows, I started farming, and I fell in love with dairy farming. I was just thinking last night when I was milking them, there's nothing else I would rather do than milk cows. I just love it.
But I still have the high heels. Do you get up at 5 a.m. to milk your cows?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, don't ask my neighbors because they'll tell you it's a little bit later, but I like to think it's 5 o'clock.
Well, that's a wonderful story. You haven't told that before on the show, so it's great to hear that. Lynette in Green Bay has a comment. Hi, Lynette.
Hi. You actually asked about a good recipe, and I'm a busy mom, and I also had a ton of tomatoes, so I was trying to figure out how to use them. And I got a recipe from our share that we, vegetable share that we had. And my kids love it. It takes 40 minutes to make. It's great. But it's a tomato basil soup. You just take a fourth of a cup of olive oil, 2 onions, and saute that in the pan. Add a tablespoon of balsamic vinegar, a tablespoon of sugar, and 3 garlic cloves. Let that saute. Put in 7 cups of chopped tomatoes and cook it for 10 minutes. Then add 3 cups of chicken broth and a bunch of basil. And then just use your immersion blender and blend it up and let it cook and serve it.
Oh, boy.
Sounds delicious.
Does that sound wonderful? Tomato and basil, tomato basil soup?
Mm-hmm. Yum.
Yeah, I love tomato soup.
But with the balsamic vinegar, literally make it in 40 minutes, and we have hot soup in 40 minutes.
That's amazing.
Oh, and those ingredients are it sounds so wonderful, and I didn't get them all written down. Darn it.
I'm sorry. I probably went too fast.
You know what? Can you post on my Facebook page?
I could try to do that, yeah.
Would you post that up? Because I think...
I want to make that for dinner now.
I want to make that now, too. And a lot of other people will as well. So, Lynette, thank you so much. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page. And if you can post that there, that would be just wonderful. I know a lot of people would love to see it. And we'll get some more recipes, too. And we'll be back, though, right after this look at the news. Well, as the temperatures drop and the trees have... turn color. There's no doubt fall is here, and a new season means a different focus on the farms across our state. I think it also means a little different difference in the food that we're preparing and eating at home as well. And we'll talk a little bit about both the farm and food with Inga Wischer. Hosts Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television, owns and operates a small organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. And Inga, great to have you with us again.
Great to be here, Larry.
And I have to tell you, she brought along some carrot soup. We mentioned it earlier, but I finished it off during the newscast, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And you've posted that. We have that up on
your website.
Mm-hmm. On our Facebook page.
On your Facebook page, yeah.
So if you want a recipe for carrot soup that you can, I think, fairly eat quickly, prepare.
Absolutely, yeah. Everything that I make, it has to be simple and quick and easy because I just don't have the patience for anything too in-depth.
So we're talking, we got a little onions, we got some ginger root, we got the carrots...
and the butter and the cream. The two most important ingredients are at the end.
Butter and cream. And so, and we're talking about total prep time here of including...
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you just got to let it cook and then puree it. And it's
so another 30 minutes there.
Yeah, and it looks beautiful. And then you garnish it with a little parsley, and people think that you spent hours making it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. I'm actually going to go home and make that.
You should. Well, and it's great for this time of the year because the carrots are all coming out of the ground and delicious.
My daughter will love that soup. What about you? Would you love a bite of Inga's carrot soup? Well, you can have it if you go on our Facebook page. And you can get the recipe right there, and you can make it yourself. Maybe you have a favorite food that you like to prepare at this time of year. You can join in with that for sure at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Lynette, earlier before our newscast, talked about her tomato basil soup, and she posted it on our Facebook page as well right now, Rebecca's telling me. So that's up there as well as the recipe for carrot soup that Inga's got for us. Tommy in Minnetonka, Minnesota. Thank you for calling. What have you got for us?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for letting me call in. Inga, it's a pleasure. Love your show. Always brings a smile to my face.
Oh, thanks, Tommy. That's so nice.
Yeah, you bet. I was just going to ask you a question. You know, being on the farm and whatnot, there's a cow, there's a pig, and there's a chicken. If there was one that you would choose for a meal, which one would you choose?
Ooh.
And then what cut of the actual animal do you prefer, and would you roast it or pan-sear it for my question? And then I was just going to mention that coming up the Halloween party, I'll be cooking a butternut squash soup with cinnamon, honey, nutmeg, and cloves. So that's one of my favorite things this time of the year. But I just appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Well, thanks a lot, Tommy, for calling. And, well, he's got a series of questions here.
That's a tough choice because there's bacon, you know. I know it's not the most popular choice today in the media.
It still
but
is for me.
I'm never going to stop eating it. I don't mind. I'm going to risk my life. I do, on my farm, I raise my bull calves to be about a year old. So they're, I don't know, 400 pounds or something. And I get them butchered and I call it rosé veal. So they're like humanely raised. They get to run around the farm, eat and everything like that. And that's my favorite all-time meat of all, like, it's amazing. Because the flavor is not as strong as beef, and now I've gotten so used to eating the rosé veal that I'm not sure if I can go back to beef. So that's my favorite thing. And I love roasts, especially this time of year. And my all-time favorite, I'm making this for a dinner party on Friday night, is a roast hunk of, like an arm roast or a shoulder roast, I think it's called. And I just braise it down with red wine and vegetables, you know, whatever those fall vegetables are. So I got celery in my garden. That's one thing that did okay in the garden this year is celery. And I'm going to throw some potatoes in there and onions. And I like the idea about the cloves and the cinnamon. And so I throw some cinnamon sticks in because those spices this time of year too, it's like a warm little hug coming out of, wafting out of the kitchen.
I love that. Thanks, Tommy.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate the call very much. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Maybe you've got some food that you'd like to talk about. And please do join in. I want to go back to Around the Farm Table for a bit because I'm looking at the shows that are yet to come. Well, there are 8 shows this year. Mm-hmm. Talk about the shows that you've got.
So this year has just been really fun. And it's always fun for us to be able to go out and get onto these farms and see what's happening and learning. This year we got to go to a farm in Spring Green that raises Red Devon cattle. They're beautiful cows. They're kind of a rare breed here in the United States. And they're what I think they're the first cow to come across, you know, to the United States. And they're tiny and they're delicious tasting. I hate to say that, like, oh, they're amazing cows. Plus, they're delicious, but they really are, and they're great for a grass fed based farm. So if you're somebody who's thinking about doing a grass based beef and raising that, it's a great cow to do. And then we went across the street, literally across the street, to Taliesin, to this new CSA that's happening there. And it's fun what's going on there, because they're really kind of reviving the agriculture that's happened there. And they're kind of, you know, there's the architecture, but there's also this agriculture that's happening there. And they have all a couple of different sustainable farmers using the land to grow organic corns. There's a community-supported agriculture there. And they're just, it's really fun to see the revival of it all.
And you cook in the kitchen.
I cook right outside.
Yeah.
And it was fun. There was like a little tour going through when we were doing the cooking scene outside. And it's always like, you know, cooking scenes outside are, they're always a challenge, because all of a sudden the wind will just start blowing, you know, and this is, my hat flips off or the tablecloth comes up. But there was this little tour that walked through, and some of the people had watched the show. So they were like, hey, we watched the show. So it made my day. I was like, oh, this is so fun. And so that episode is going to air this Thursday night at 7:30 on Wisconsin Public Television. And then next Thursday is one of my favorite episodes to film, because I got to film it with my cousin, and we talk about Holland manure, which is something that happens quite a bit on the dairy farm. And she's from Chicago, but she always comes up. And when she does, she lives right downtown, you know, but when she gets onto the farm with me, she gets right into her bib overalls. She's got her barn boots there, and we go out and milk cows together, and we got matching little hats that we wear, and just have a great time. So on the episode, she has to finish Holland manure for me so I can go out and get the ingredients for our dinner party. And we go out and we get quail eggs, which are beautiful. They're just tiny and beautiful. And we get some lamb. Yeah.
I have a story about quail eggs.
Okay.
I taught a class. I was taught a cooking class. And well, it was actually a wild game cooking class with Scott Craven. He and I taught an eight-week class. Met once a week. And we were, to start the class, and this is Craven's idea, he said, we've got these quail eggs. Why don't we have deviled quail eggs?
Yeah.
The quail eggs are about the size of a marble. And so we started, and it was a big class. So we've got a lot of quail eggs. And peeling quail eggs.
I'm laughing because I'm right there with you.
Peeling those little guys and cutting them and, you know, making these deviled eggs, which, to be honest, tasted exactly like if we had gotten some chicken eggs.
Except for they're just tinier.
Except they're just tinier, and they take a whole lot more.
We didn't really know what we were getting into, and I said, well, let's just do deviled eggs. And same thing. But we were doing it while filming. Like, it was like, we'd never done it before. And we're like, well, how are we going to get these yolks out? Because they were tiny.
They're tiny.
Yolks. So, and my cousin was cooking with me, and I was like, she'll take care of that because she's the chef here. And she's like, this is impossible. But it's worth it in the end.
And there are ways you can, pickle them.
Uh huh.
That would be simpler.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. Well, we popped ours in some beet juice before we deviled them.
Yeah.
Just so it gives it that beautiful little pink thing. And we served it on a little bed of moss. It was adorable. Like, it was just adorable.
But it tasted just like a regular...
egg.
I know all about that. I really laughed. I just chuckled to myself when I saw quail eggs. Boy, I can empathize right away. Cheryl in Michigan, thank you so much for calling. What have you got for us today?
Hi. I was just going to make a little suggestion. When you're making the squash soups or the carrot soup, years ago, Sheila Lukens used to have a Sunday flyer recipes in the paper.
I have a couple of her cookbooks.
Yes, yes. But anyways, she suggested using red lentils as your thickening agent. And there's your protein content, and it gives such a lovely color. You don't see them in there, but there's your protein.
Red lentils.
Red lentils.
And for tomato soup.
Such a beautiful color, even to a chicken soup. They give it like a pale orange. But when you use it in the squash soups and, say, a carrot soup, you don't know what's in there, but that's your protein content.
Does it add a flavor?
It adds a texture.
It's the texture. That's what I was thinking.
It thickens it, but it has a really nice texture.
And I like a thick soup.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to thicken it up, because they give it such a pretty color, too. But in a squash soup, you don't know what's there. And like I said, it gives it the protein content.
Yeah, there's the protein.
That's a great idea. Lentil soup in general is one of my favorite. It's like...
Oh, but the red lentils are wonderful. The red lentils.
Oh, I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cheryl.
You're welcome.
It's soup season, Larry.
It's soup season, and I'm glad to hear it. Thank you. Red lentils. I actually am going to make a note of that so I don't forget. Stella in Sturgeon Bay, thank you for calling.
Hi. In reference to the caller before me, red lentils in India are known as dal. And
yes.
They are very small. They're not like the big brown lentils. They're very small, and they just completely dissolve when you cook them in something. That's where the thickening comes from. And what I called about is you asked for recipes. I learned one from my husband's family that we really love. We call it potato carrot rutabaga. And then we added onion. It used to be just potato, carrot, rutabaga, onion. And what we do is we steam up equal portions of the four vegetables until they're nice and soft, and then we mash them. And it's like mashed potatoes, and delicious eaten as is. We might put a little bit of olive oil in it. And we always make up a big batch. It keeps very well in the fridge. We eat on it for a number of days. And also, sometimes we form it into patties and freeze them and then pull them out later in the year and just put some melt some cheese on the top of them, either fry them or heat them in the microwave. And it's really delicious. I never cared for rutabaga before, but I love it this way.
I like rutabagas, and... A lot of people don't, but so you take, is there an equal amounts? Or?
Yeah, basically equal portions of carrots, potatoes, rutabaga, and onion.
And then you...
Steam them. Until you can mash them, until they're soft.
And then do you add...
We generally don't add anything. Sometimes we add a little olive oil.
Okay, so you're getting a really thick...
Yeah, it's thick.
That is more like a almost stew-like.
Yeah.
No, in its consistency? No?
Well, it's like a really thick mashed potato.
There you go. But you just eat it that way, like you would a mashed potato.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you throw a little butter on it.
Uh-huh.
Sounds great.
A little salt and pepper.
Uh-huh.
And then you patty them and freeze them, pattied.
Or you can patty them, you know, when it's fresh too. But if we make a really super big batch, then we'll make them into patties and freeze them.
Well, you're giving me a great idea here, Stella. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
You got some really big rutabagas.
Oh, and that'd be the way to use a big rutabaga for sure.
Right.
Thank you. Do you have any other? Inga, do you make rutabaga?
I don't, but I'm going to start. But I like the idea about using other things instead of mashed potatoes. You know, kind of liven it up a little bit and trade it out.
Potatoes, carrot, rutabaga, and onion. And I really do like rutabagas. And they're more, I mean, so they're grown in a little bit more in North. Rice Lake area,
yeah.
Cumberland.
And Cumberland, they have the Rutabaga Festival.
Yeah, there's a Rutabaga Queen even.
No kidding.
Yeah, or at least there was at one point. I imagine there still is. I brought it up a couple times on the show. You can eat rutabagas any possible way there is to eat a rutabaga. You can eat it at the Rutabaga Festival. I'm pretty sure of that.
I've always wanted to go there. My brother lives up there. And so.
In Rice Lake?
Yeah, but he's never invited me to go to the Rutabaga Festival. So.
Well, hopefully he's listening.
Well, that's why I put in a little plug for myself there.
Oh, man. Inga Wisher, our guest today, we're talking with her about cooking, a little bit about fall, cooking on the farm. We're talking about her TV show, Around the Farm Table. Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Love to hear from you. You talked about milking goats in one of your shows.
I did, yeah. And, you know, Larry, after milking cows for all these years, I go sit down to milk the goat, and I'm like, wait, something's missing, because they only have two quarters. And I was like, ah, it just threw me for a little bit of a loop. But it's fun. It's, you know, you can milk them out in a couple of minutes. They don't milk that much. But the goat milk is a little bit different than cow's milk. I didn't know this. It doesn't homogenize like cow's milk, so it doesn't separate. The cream
doesn't separate
out. Yeah. And it's higher in calcium.
I think it is. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's all, I'm not going to say any more about it because I'm a dairy farmer and I milk cows. I don't want people to switch.
And I was just going to ask you if you'd ever made cheese out of it.
No, I haven't.
You're only making cheese out of dairy cows.
I just don't want my Jerseys to get mad at me. You know, when they get mad and they kick, it hurts.
What's the your dad makes some really nice. Well, yeah. You probably are in on the making of it too.
Well, a little bit. No, I usually am finishing up milking when my dad starts the cheese making process. So I show up there when we're getting ready to cut the curd. And then we get to sit around. And it's a fun, like, making cheddar is, oh, gosh, it's like a 6 or 8 hour process. So it's a lot of hurrying up and waiting. So we get a lot of, like, you know, good father-daughter time in standing around the cheese vat.
Well, I interviewed a guy the other day, about a week or so ago, who's written a book on cheddar.
Oh, I want to get that book.
It's a wonderful book. You'll love that book. It's really a great book about sort of the history of it, and this guy pretty much knows what he's talking about. But mm-hmm. he's the kind of person that you'd sit down and have a piece of cheese and a beer with.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, even though he does judge, you know, all the top contests and so forth.
Oh, yeah. We visited this creamery in an upcoming episode called Landmark Creamery. And there are two ladies, they're making sheep's milk cheese and cow's milk cheese. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary in Eau Claire has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I wondered if you could substitute anything for noodles, like in stir fry or even chili or making chicken noodle soup. Could you slice zucchini really long in ribbons? Would that work? Is there anything you could suggest that would take the place of potatoes or noodles?
You know, what about like wild rice? Especially in the chicken soup.
Oh.
I think that'd be great. And it's very local. But, the zucchini might cook down too much.
I think it would cook down too much.
Yeah.
But I love the wild rice.
Mushy? Yeah.
I love the wild rice idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And wild rice gives it that nice texture. You know, it's got that nice bite to it, too.
Yeah. I like absolutely. That. So give that a try, Mary.
I will. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. And let's go to Mike in Green Lake. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning. Or is it afternoon already?
Yes, it's afternoon.
I wanted to mention that just recently, the Wisconsin Hickory Association, which is a statewide association based in here in Green Lake, had their first hickory feast this past weekend, and they featured a really unique fall squash soup they called Aguisimanabo.
That's a tongue twister.
It's a yellow squash soup with leeks and cucumbers and hickory syrup.
And hickory syrup. So instead of maple syrup, it's hickory syrup.
Yes, yes. And it was just delicious. And people that were there were just blown away by it. Nobody had such a soup before. It was kind of a chunky soup. I heard earlier one of your callers mention making something that was the consistency of mashed potatoes. This would be just a little bit thinner, as the Native Americans did have water in it. And sometimes for a protein, they would add ground-up hickory nuts, which they called pukahikora, and that would be the protein in it.
You know, and this is the Wisconsin Hickory Association?
That's correct. That's correct, right. They had their first annual hickory feast.
I want to do an episode about hickory nuts.
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just thinking this is a perfect show for you, Inga.
An episode.
Have they got a website?
Yes, wihickory.org.
WIHickory.org. Well, we'll post that up on our Facebook page, but Inga, there you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. I made a hickory nut tart 2 years ago. It was amazing. It's so delicious. And I made the crust out of like ground hickory nuts. There you go.
Well, I learned something. I did not know there was a Wisconsin Hickory Association. And I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't do something with that on your show. It's always fun. You know, here we are. The time flew by. And another show has come and gone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
You'll come back and be with
Absolutely.
Me again? All right. Good. Inga Wischer, who hosts Around the Farm Table and is a wonderful cook, wonderful chef as well. It's always great to have her on. It's always a lot of fun. And I hope you'll go if you go to the Wisconsin Public TV website, you can see back issues right now. And when's the next one?
Thursday night at 7:30.
Thursday night at 7:30 on Wisconsin Public Television. And thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.